From Psalm 25, verses 4 through 5. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long.
In his book, Truth Decay, Douglas Gruthus writes this. Aristotle began his great work, Metaphysics, by writing that man by nature desires to know. Centuries later, the poet and playwright T.S. Eliot noted, humankind cannot bear very much reality. I'm not sure he'd write that today with all the reality shows, would you? Strangely, both are right. Out of this all-too-human tension and polarity is born the perennial paradoxical quest for and escape from the truth. Truth is a daunting, difficult thing. It is also the greatest thing on earth. Yet we are chronically ambivalent toward it. We seek it and we fear it. Our better side wants to pursue truth wherever it leads. But our darker side balks when the truth begins to lead us anywhere we do not want to go. Today there are many who believe that we are held fast by nothing certain, nothing objective, nothing absolute, nothing universal. There is no finally fixed point of reference, no immovable anchor for the soul. In a related article entitled Truth is Stranger Than It Used to Be, Michael McKinney writes this, society no longer considers any truth to be absolute. Instead, there are many beliefs, many realities, many truths. People have always been on a quest to know, always sought the answers to the big questions. We have searched for truth, order, and the meaning of life. And when the answers we've come up with have left us wanting, we've gone off in all kinds of creative new directions. The modern world searched for the truth scientifically. This idea that we alone, as human beings, can determine reality and truth has made truth self-legitimizing. We now say that no one is right and everyone is right. We see the world as a byproduct of many realities and many truths. Everything is possible and nothing is certain. Truth is a story. It isn't the end, it's the means. With no foundation for truth, the highest value that can be placed on any truth is its capacity to please and its practical utility. In other words, how it makes us feel. Feelings and opinions must then be elevated over truth. And this we have done. Attitudes about truth have become increasingly militant in our country and in our world. Some people are convinced that their political party has established positions which are the truth and the only truth, and so they're unwilling to compromise. Closely related to that are beliefs about economic theories and scientific theories and social theories and other theories. With all of the true believers in these diverse ideas, and with all of their harsh criticism of one another, many other people today do not believe there is such a thing as truth. With more access to different cultures and different religious beliefs, fewer people believe that there is such a thing as religious truth. They do not believe in a god, a god, or a multitude of gods. They do not believe in a divinely inspired book that holds timeless and absolute truths for all people in all times. But views about truth today are views that have always existed. This world has almost always been culturally and religiously diverse. And so truth has always been in question. And there have almost always been people who perverted the truth for their own purposes. Isaiah 5 and verses 20 through 21 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Seemingly godly people are not immune to truth perversion. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 4 is a warning to Christians about themselves, about one another. It says, "For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine." Sound doctrine being equated with the truth of God. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Both of these Bible selections show something that's really important and for us to really get a hold of. They show that the conviction of the writers that there is such a thing as truth and falsehood. They believe, these writers do, that this truth is known and that the people who pervert this truth do so at their own risk, but also at the risk of other people who believe their untruths, their lies. But the question really is for you and I and for every person is this: is there one absolute, unquestionable source of truth for all things, all occasions, all people, and all times? That's a big question, isn't it? Is there one absolute, unquestionable source of truth for all things? The Bible says yes, and it identifies that consistent source of truth as God, the God of the Bible, the one identified as the only true God as opposed to man-made gods. This God is spoken of in Psalm 3 and verse 5 as the God of truth. The God of the Bible had a long history with the people who wrote about him. He promised many things, both good and bad, based upon the conduct of his spiritual children. He did exactly what he said he would do, whether it was blessing them or punishing them. When he said he would do something that seemed impossible to them, it happened just as he said it would. He never told them anything that was untrue. No wonder the psalmist would identify God as the God of truth. As Jesus' follower Paul wrote of the unfaithfulness of God's children to him versus God's faithfulness and righteousness to them, he said in Romans chapter 3 and verse 4, "Let God be true and every man a liar, as it is written, so that you may be proved right when you speak and prevail when you judge." Paul's quote is from King David's remarks in his prayer, actually, in Psalm 51. There David admitted his sins, and he said to God in verse 4, "Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge." The rightness, God's truthfulness, was proven to people through the experiences of their lives. Well, you and I can only know the truth through experience. Isn't that true? God knows and speaks and exhibits truth to such an extent in the present and in the future that we can only say that God is truth. Much like we refer to John's remark that God is love. He exhibits it to such an extent that it comes to identify who he is and what he's about. God is truth. His truth has been tested for its veracity over millennia, and it is always found to be true. God's truth about himself and his will for all people has always been open for everyone to see and to know. That's why Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1 and in verses 18 through 20, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. There's an intentionality here, isn't there? The suppression of the truth, of things that are clearly seen, clearly known, clearly understood. The truth claimed in the Bible is the result of testing and fulfillment for proven reliability. God revealed his truth to people to be written into books and assembled as the Holy Bible, holy because it contains God's words, not just random words of well-intentioned but misled and erring human beings. God's truths about how all people can live to please him and to please other people are available for generations to learn about. And so when we read these passages in Psalms in particular, where people like David talk about how they will perpetuate the teachings of God's word generation after generation, they're talking about a source from which to do that. And that source is the inspired word of God, God's truth. King David wrote in Psalm chapter 119 and verse 30, I have chosen the way of truth. I have set my heart on your laws. David looked at this established body of teachings from God, those things that we refer to often as the Mosaical Law, the law that God gave to his covenant people at Mount Sinai. That's the laws that David's referring to, and David equates that with God's truth, the way of truth. Why? Because it came from God. And everything about God, historically, legitimately, was nothing but truth. Whether they liked that truth or not, it was truth. With this high awareness of the value of truth, Proverbs 23 and verse 23 urges, buy the truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom, discipline, and understanding. Buy the truth and do not sell it. You wouldn't say that about something that lacked value, something that was questionable. Buy the truth. Elsewhere, truth and God's word are used in equation to one another with the idea that it's more valuable than gold, than silver, than much wealth, than all kinds of things that a person might think highly valuable. God's word, God's wisdom is valuable because it's true. Jesus' follower Paul was concerned that his preaching protege Timothy correctly handle God's truth, the word of truth. And so all of these scriptures lead us to understand that divinely revealed truth is precious. Because what you and I may come to understand upon our own wisdom as being truth may not always be. Michael McKinney asked some challenging questions. The Bible says that understanding comes through practicing biblical instruction as a way of life. How many have really read the pages of the Bible? In doing so, how many have let the Bible speak for itself? And how many have gone one step further and really applied and tested its truths, its ideas, its principles, and its commands in their own lives? About a year ago, we had a short video series that involved some on-the-street interviews with people and coffee house interviews with people, typically young adults, asking them about their views about God and Jesus and the Bible and biblical truths. And most of those young adults had rather unsure feelings, beliefs, opinions about the Bible. And in almost every case, they were people who had not read the Bible. They gained their opinions about what was good and bad, truth and not truth, based upon what other people had said, what they had heard, and then as a result of that, what they felt. But they hadn't opened the pages of the Bible to see if this really was truth, if it really had veracity to it, if it really made sense once you read the entirety of it. Psalm 96 and verse 13 says of God, He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in His truth. If that's the case, then we and the world need to know what the truth is, don't we? If I'm going to be judged by something, I want to know what I'm going to be judged by. If I'm working in a work environment where there's certain criteria for me that I'm going to be judged by, on an annual basis, perhaps for promotions or for salary or whatever it may be, I want to know what those criteria are before I get into that work environment. I want to know what's expected of me. I want to know how I'm going to have to conduct myself. I want to know how I'm supposed to perform in order to get the rewards of that. I also want to know how I'm going to be tested or judged so that I'll know how to present myself and prepare myself ahead of time. I want to know. Don't you? We all need to say with Psalm 25 and verses 4 through 5, as was read earlier, Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth. And teach me, for you are my God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. With that, we need to say with Psalm 26 and verses 2 through 3, Test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart, my mind, for your love is ever before me, and I walk continually in your truth. If you're looking for time-tested truth, look for the God of the Bible. Look at the truth found in Him, and look at the instructions that He provides for living. You'll find things that are hard to understand. You'll find things that are hard to believe. And you'll find things that are hard to practice. You'll find yourself being challenged by the God of truth to accept Him and His truth. And you may wrestle with it, and fairly so. Because some of the greatest people of the Bible, some of the most faithful people of the Bible, some of the most humble, godly people of the Bible struggled with understanding and even believing God. But they tried, and they continued to humble themselves to Him, regardless of what seemed impossible or hard to understand. As you continue to look into God's Word, you will find absolute, raw, and reliable truth. God sent His Son, Jesus the Christ, to this world. Jesus was characterized as being full of grace and truth. Isn't it interesting that of all the things that could have been said about Jesus, that John says this about Him as an introduction to Him, that this Jesus, this Son of God, this Messiah, the Savior of the world, came full of grace or love and truth. He spoke truthfully of God's sacrificial, eternal love for all people. And He calls everyone to believe the truth and to obey Him. Have you? Will you now? We ask you to stand, and as we sing this song, would you come forward if you have that need right now, please?